Good morning and welcome back to the Dantablog's Morning Coffee Podcast. Hope you're having a great morning, a great day, maybe a cup of coffee. And this is a bonus episode. We are mainly just doing this on weekdays, but we have a little bonus episode today. This is Saturday, January 20th, and it's mostly just we're going to talk about Dante's Paradiso because we keep reading in the original Italian and there's so many great things, but then we also keep moving. So if we don't talk about this, it's probably just going to be forgotten. And there are a couple of things. Just the main thing here that we're going to talk about is how the journey is continuing, and then Dante is using the two wheels on this chariot, this allegorical chariot, which is kind of bringing us upwards and showing both like the more mysticism wheel and the more rational intellectual wheel and how they work together. And specifically here, it's mostly just the rational intellectual from Aquinas in this passage that is starting to explain now, which is the idea of Solomon and why did he first say that there is no second, there is no equal to the wisdom of King Solomon. And then he's qualifying this by making a precision or like a clarification, like a more precise explanation why he says this. But it also ties into a couple of bigger things, like this is still the sun. This is the sphere of the sun, which is about illumination, theology, and also human knowledge in a sense. So what Dante is doing is that he's both showing the heights, the pinnacles of human wisdom, and at the same time, he's showing that our and then its limitation and also how much lies beyond it. So it's kind of a both cherishing human wisdom and the saints and these 24 souls that are making these two wheels now at the moment in the chariot, but then also just pointing out that there are also much larger, bigger, transcendent wisdom that goes far beyond human capacity. And he also puts a lot of other things in. So we went through 14 tercets yesterday. So this is partly, it shows how, like, the difference again between like these deep metaphorical tercets and this more like the speech of Thomas Aquinas, which is much more just laying out the rational argument. So it starts here with, this is 67, line 67, still in canto 13, which is turning out to be one of our favorite cantos in Paradiso, because it's so rich in both the deep, more mystical part of it, but also showing the combination. This is just showing the chariot, like the chariot is starting to move here. So the tercet starts with La cera di costoro e chi la duce non sta di un modo e però sotto il segno ideale poi più e men traluce. So the last part is più o meno traluce, is like more or less shines through. So what he's starting to make an argument about is the material world, the material creation is of varying quality. So it's not of one mode, but it is variable. But still, it is like the divine light, the transcendent is still shining through it. So he makes an image now with wood, and he says that ondelli avvien che un medesimo legno secondo specie meglio e peggio frutta e voi nascete con diverso ingegno. So the trees, even if like with the same type of tree, will have better or worse fruits. They will bring fruits of varying quality. Same type of tree, but different trees. And then it says, and you are born, like you people, you humans, are born with varying intellects. And then, se fosse appunto la cera dedutta e fosse il ciel in sua virtù suprema, la luce del suggel parebbe tutta. So, if the If the matter was perfect and it was made in a perfect way of virtue, then the divine light would just shine completely out of it. If the substance, the matter, was perfect and the shaping of it was perfect. And then, ma la natura dell'ha sempre scema. Similmente operando all'artista che l'abito dell'arte a man che trema. So the workings of nature is always a little bit imperfect. In the same way as an artist who is making the art has a little bit of a trembling hand. The hand is not quite still, so the artwork is a little bit, it has its imperfections. Però se il caldo amor la chiara vista della prima virtù dispone e segna tutta la perfezione cui vi si acquista. So there comes the point that although the matter and the shaping of it has its imperfections, the way that it is shined through with the virtue and kind of imprinted to some degree with the virtue from the Holy Spirit in this sense, in this case, it still attains a form of perfection. La perfezione cui vi si acquista, the perfection through this it acquires. So, very important point here, uniting suddenly again the spiritual and the material. The material is corruptible, perishable, transient, imperfect, but the varying degrees of the divine light and that it has a spirit imbued in it makes it all the same to have a form of perfection. Così fu fatta già la terra degna di tutto l'animal perfezione. Così fu fatta la vergine pregna. So in this way is made the earth of all the animals when it was created with also Adam, and in this way also the Virgin Mary was made pregnant with the human of the Christ. Sì, ch'io commendo tua opinione che l'umana natura mai non fu né fia qual fu in quelle due persone. So now Thomas Aquinas is coming back to this point that he earlier said that he could kind of read from the mind of the pilgrim about Adam and the Christ figure. And then he says that even though, and yes, as much as I commend, I support your opinion, that human nature has never been and never will be at the same level as these two figures. Ora, si non procedesse avanti più è, dunque, come costui fu senza pare, senza pare, comincerebber le parole tue. So, if I will not proceed forward from this, then why do you say there is no equal? You will start, or would start, the words of you. So he's anticipating then the objection that will come from the pilgrim. And then we don't have to read all of this. But then the argument he's going to make here now is that the wisdom of King Solomon is specifically referring to the wisdom of being a king. So it's King Solomon is offered the wish in his dreams. The divine comes to him in his dreams and says, "What do you want? I can give you anything you want." And King Solomon famously answers, "I just want wisdom to be a good ruler." So now Dante is picking up on that story and then making it like a clarifying through St. Thomas that Solomon is the wisest of them all when it comes to being a king. And he also makes the point there that Solomon is not asking for example, how many, like what is the number of angels in the spheres. He's not asking for, can a necessity with a contingency result in a necessary consequence. He also didn't ask about how can something unmoved, can something be the first mover without having been moved first? And he also did not ask about if you can in a circle, if you can make a triangle in a circle, which apart from the triangle with a 90 degree angle in it, is it possible to make a triangle like that? So Dante is just making examples of challenges, philosophical, geometrical challenges, theological challenges that King Solomon did not ask for. He only asked the wisdom in his heart to be a good ruler, to be a good king. So, therefore, Thomas then finishes this part with just saying that, so when I was talking, I was referring to this regal prudenza, like the regal prudence, the regal wisdom to discern truth and the morally good. And he also finishes then this part by saying ai regi che son molti e buon son rari, like of the kings of which there are many and of good there are few, there are rare. So that is this big argument about King Solomon and what he really meant with the wisdom. So as you can see here, this argument is very rational, and then compared to these two big visions we had earlier in the same canto, it's a very big contrast. So we're going to switch now to a little bit of our conversation with our sidekick Claude about this portion of canto 13, and also this part about the combination, the unity of the rational and the spiritual here, and the mysticism. So I'm starting here and saying that Dante lays out a big argument here, partly about the human versus the divine capacities, it seems. And Claude, you are absolutely right. This passage from Dante's Paradiso is rich with philosophical arguments about human versus divine capabilities. A few key points. Dante suggests that all humans have different inherent capabilities and talents, diverso ingegno, as a tree may bear different quality fruit according to its species. He argues that no human nature can equal that of Christ or the Virgin Mary, extraordinary exceptions because of the ardent love and the divine virtue that shaped their beings. The pilgrim Dante knows readers may wonder how the biblical King Solomon could lack any equal, since he was renowned for his supreme wisdom after asking the divine for that gift. But Dante emphasizes Solomon asked for wisdom specifically to be a sufficient king, not out of abstract philosophical curiosity. So it exemplifies righteous royal prudence, not unchecked intellectual pride. So it's interesting that Claude here, the chatbot, brings in the intellectual pride, which is such a big topic. All the way back in Inferno 26 with the story about Ulysses, the whole idea of it being the biggest obstacle in the mountain of purgatory. And also it's everywhere in the comedy that the biggest challenge, the biggest vice is the intellectual pride, and it's the root of the other vices. And Claude continues, you summarize it so well. It's an intricate layered discourse, blah, blah, blah. Dante warns against pursuing knowledge for his own sake rather than moral purpose. And then we keep going here and talking about the sun. So Claude says, the sphere of the sun symbolizes the height of human wisdom and achievement. So discussing the limits and proper role of human intellect makes sense. The celestial chariot represents divine order, directing all creation to its harmonious fulfillment, which contrasts with humans' imperfect discernment. So this discourse firmly establishes human faculties as wonderfully God-given, yet fundamentally limited. Perhaps placing it directly after such direct spiritual revelations as these two big visions underscores the message. True wisdom comes from the divine, not autonomous efforts. We shine brightest when reflecting divine illumination gifted through grace. In a way, you can think of this like the long speech of St. Thomas is one way of showing wisdom, knowledge, insight, but then these to visions up in the sky with a chariot and the North Star, or this source with this emanating, overflowing light that is emerging out of the center and filling the whole of creation, the whole of Paradiso, is another form of conveying a form of wisdom that is not rational, but in many ways infinitely deeper and richer. So it's part of what Dante, I think, is showing in this canto, canto 13. And then also, light as enlightenment was a common medieval metaphor. So the sun epitomizes illumination through human intellect and reason. And then we keep going. So I'm just summing it up here a little bit. So in some ways, Dante is doing the two wheels of the chariot to illuminate and help us further up on the journey, I think. And the ineffable and mystical wisdom embedded in the visions is indeed mysterious. At one level, they are quite simple in their beauty, yet they feel boundless in wisdom and evocative new worlds of insight. And perhaps this is something that Dante at least partly got from deep prayers and contemplation himself. And Claude replies, beautifully put, I think you're spot on that Dante is attempting to harness both systematic theology and mystical experience, the two wheels of the cosmic chariot, to draw readers upward in our own journeys toward the light. And then we keep going here, and I'm saying that I think we're onto something. The chariot is just being built in Canto 11 and 12. Then we had the vision in the night sky with the chariot, and now Dante is really moving us along with this chariot. And Claude says, I love this insight about the chariot metaphorically transporting us, the readers, along with Dante on his heavenly journey as the poem progresses. The vision of the celestial chariot and North Star was such a pivotal, stunning scene. And you are right. Its appearance does seem to mark a shift from the more bounded human wisdom represented by the sun to growing hints of mystical transcendence beyond rational comprehension. This is very well put. And it also kind of gives us a way of stepping back from the Paradiso a little bit and think like, okay, so we're now at level 4 with the sun and something is changing. And it is this form of expressing knowledge through these visions is something that we're going to have more and more of from here as we keep ascending. And then the whole balance between these two wheels are going to shift more towards the more like the ineffable mystical light that we are moving towards. The final part here, so there's a last comment from Claude. He says, yes, amidst all the rich philosophical discourse and elaborate theology, these two mystical visions, meaning in the beginning of Canto 13, stand out as the most emotionally and spiritually impactful. The luminous, infinitely loving Godhead overflowing with radiance into the cosmos, these vivid images seem to transcend even the paranormal heavens, cutting straight to the divine heart. These shimmering manifestations of divinity seem to form the emotional core and aesthetic culmination that the intricate philosophical scaffolding builds toward. Dante knows where to carry us for that taste of the sacred that no theories can replicate. Your soul recognizes the gifts that resonate the most. This is also another part where you can see these chatbots are really good at both seeing patterns, but also like these gradual changes, like from how like these first manifestations are growing and then gradually taking a bigger place than the intricate philosophical scaffolding, as he puts it here. Okay, so that was almost 20 minutes. That's kind of what we're aiming for here in general. So hope some of this was interesting. This is like a big middle chunk of Canto 13 and a rational speech from Thomas showing both the heights of Solomon's wisdom, but also the limitations, and through this argument, lifting us further up and also showing by doing how this two-wheeled chariot is helping transporting us further on this journey. So with that, hope some of this was interesting. Hope you're still having a great day, maybe a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And we'll be back soon on Monday, or maybe another bonus episode tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.